enter.
All departments have reported in, Captain.
What's the bad news, Commander?
Not as bad as could be expected. The Aurora managed to avoid any damage from the explosion despite all the debris. Shields are back up to 100%, and White is down in engineering double-checking all systems.
That's the good news, Commander Tobin. I asked for the bad.
The last 5 crewmen from the Rosemont didn't make it, sir. Esposito said they'd already suffered extensive tissue damage from both the explosion and the decompression. There was nothing he could do.
All hands lost. 1,144 officers, crewmen, and family dead, with no answer as to why in sight.
We are going to solve this, sir.
Damn right we're going to solve this. The part that bothers me is, how many more lives are going to be sacrificed in the meantime?
Sensors have picked up a Romulan Farber decloaking on intercept course, Captain. Arrival in 12 minutes.
12 minutes?
They didn't wait to decloak until they were right on top of us?
Perhaps they want to talk before blowing us out of the sky.
How kind of them. Who am I to argue? Nor, open hailing frequencies. Commander Tobin and I will be right out. Red alert!
Shields at 100%, Captain. Phasers are online and all torpedo tubes are locked and loaded.
We come in peace. Shoot to kill.
Frequencies open, Captain.
This is Captain Patrick Michael Connerly of the Federation Starship Aurora. We are currently investigating the loss of several ships in the area, and would be thankful for any assistance you may wish to render.
We have been monitoring the situation, Captain. The Romulan Star Empire sends its condolences to the families of those tragically lost aboard your fellow vessels. But I wish to remind you, Aurora, that you are dangerously close to Romulan space. You will turn your ship around and return to Federation space immediately.
You realize, Commander, that we are currently involved in rendering assistance to the Romulan Empire.
And on behalf of my people, I thank you for your people's assistance. That does not, however, give you the right to enter our space without permission. Please leave now.
If you're monitoring our situation, then you're well aware of the loss of 4 other ships in this sector of the neutral zone. We are strictly on a research mission that will result in a safer space for both of our races.
The ships that have been destroyed have been Federation ships. We are in no danger.
You son of a...
Can it, mister?
Commander, you must understand that...
No, Captain. You must understand. You are in violation of the Treaty of Algeron establishing the neutral zone. You have committed an act of war and are to leave the neutral zone immediately. We are currently 10 minutes from your location. If you and your ship are still there when we arrive, we will enforce the treaty by any means necessary.
Captain, they have raised shields and armed their disruptor arrays.
Commander, I'm sure that if we could communicate civilly, that we could...
We have been civil, Captain. We gave you a warning. You now have 9 minutes to leave our space.
We know the history of this area of space. We know about the minefield.
As per the treaty, the minefield was dismantled and full disclosure was given.
Then how in the hell do you explain what's been going on out here?
It's not our responsibility to explain anything further. Leave. Now.
They have broken off communications, Captain.
What do you want to do, Captain?
Phasers and torpedoes are at the ready, sir.
As are the warp engines.
Captain?
Stand down. I'm not going to start a war without having all the facts, and with some of our people behind enemy lines. Set a return course to Deep Space 5. Nor, I want you to drop Class 8 sensor probes and warning buoys on our side of the border before we go to warp. I don't want anyone else going in this way until we know for certain what's going on.
Of course they didn't, Captain.
Probes and buoys ready, Captain.
Launch and go. Take us home, Lieutenant Carr.
Admiral, what disturbs me is that the Romulan commander all but admitted that the minefield was active again. They're not normally so direct.
Yet, what he actually said was that the minefields were properly disposed of. He was a bit more circumspect about the recent chain of events. In my experience, Romulans say as much by what they withhold as by what they actually say.
He said that they were not in danger. What else could he have meant by that?
That's a good question, my dear Captain. He certainly knows something that we do not.
That is the Romulan way. Always plotting and scheming, making things happen while they wait in the vestry.
What we have to determine is what the Romulans benefit from keeping Federation aid out of their empire. Rest assured, Patrick Michael, this is not over.
Not by a long shot. When I was thinking about those five crewmen, the story you showed us from the Challenger came to mind. Specifically the science officer.
It came to my mind as well.
You didn't tell us the end of the story. How did your excursion into the neutral zone go?
Oh, well, as you know, we were there in the minefield, trying to rescue the Marco Polo while a mine was attached to its hull.
Major Goldman's team is reporting in, Captain. 12 of the 22 personnel have been recovered at this point. Dr. Rembrandt says that of the 12, no one's in critical condition, though a few have been irradiated and they're going to need to be isolated.
What's Westlake and Fitzgerald's status?
Their efforts to defuse the mine are going slowly, but they have an advantage the Enterprise didn't. So far, everything is going according to plan, if not fitting to their time frame.
What is their estimated time to completion?
Not sure. They're worrying more about not setting off the mine than what time it is.
What's Eugene's condition?
Elevated respiration and blood pressure, but within Starfleet medical tolerances.
In other words, he's on the verge of hyperventilating, but the meds must be working because he hasn't completely lost his mind. Yet.
He'll be fine. He has a distinguished mind. You would do well to remember that, Lieutenant Lau.
I meant no offense, Captain. I just don't understand why anyone would ask to serve aboard a starship if they can't handle working in space.
Starfleet would not put any officer in a position where they would endanger the personnel aboard a starship. For whatever reason he's out here, the brass must have believed he could handle it, and that's good enough for me.
Well, if he had been a part of the China space program, it wouldn't have mattered how smart he was. He wouldn't have been allowed to serve.
Well, I guess it's a good thing that Starfleet absorbed your program. Now, Lieutenant, are the grapplers ready for launch?
Ready as soon as the mine is disabled.
Commander, is there any sign of company?
Not that I can tell, Captain, but keep in mind that even with the quantum beacons, the Enterprise never saw them coming.
Well, keep an eye open anyway.
Very funny.
Goldman has found the rest of the crew, Captain. They turned one of their cargo bays into a storm shelter. All hands are accounted for.
Fantastic. Tell them to haul tail back here.
More good news, Captain. Mary and Eugene just bypassed the last failsafe. The mine is floating free.
Can we grab it for examination?
That wouldn't be wise, Captain. Grabbing it with a grappling hook may still set it off.
And I, for one, don't like the idea of a live mine being in our cargo bay.
Okay, I see your point. We should probably count our blessings. Tell them to detonate the mine once it's a safe distance from our ships and other mines. Grab the Marco Polo and plot a course, Lau.
Course laid in.
Shuttle Pod 1 has picked up Mary and Eugene, and both 1 and 2 are on their way back.
As soon as they're aboard, let's head for home.
With the ship in tow, it took us 16 days to reach a suitable dry dock to drop off the Marco Polo and her crew. Dr. Rembrandt was able to treat all the wounded, and they even managed to begin repairs on their ship before we arrived.
It sounds as though it was about as close to a happy ending as could be managed.
It could have been a whole lot worse.
Tell me about it. How long after that did the Earth-Romulan War begin?
Just a couple of months.
What about Lieutenant Commander Westlake? Did the experience help him with his fears?
Not really. You might even say it got worse, which just made his determination to prove his worthiness on the crew even greater.
Why did Starfleet Medical pass his psychological evaluation with such an obvious phobia?
When it comes down to it, Westlake was tremendously gifted. If he put his mind to it, there was nothing he couldn't accomplish. Well, almost nothing. In this case, he wanted to join Starfleet.
Did you ever learn what made him want to join Starfleet?
Yeah, but that's a story for another time.
I'm sorry for interrupting, Admiral, but you wanted to be notified when the new ops officer arrived.
That's okay, we were just finishing up in here. Send him in when Captain Connerly leaves.
Understood.
You know, Admiral, for every story that you tell, I get the feeling there are two secrets you're not sharing.
Yeah, maybe there's a little Romulan in my bloodline somewhere.
Funny, sir.
But seriously, as I said before, Captain, we'll find out who's responsible for this, and we'll get it taken care of. Remember,
all good things come to those who wait.
And listen.
Thank you, sir, for everything.
You're welcome, Patrick Michael.
You wanted to see me, Admiral Avery?
Yes, yes. Come on in. How was your trip?
Longer than expected, sir. We took a brief detour through the Talbot Cluster. We came across a magnetic storm that the captain decided to observe. Fortunately, the chief science officer allowed me to assist, and we gathered some very interesting data.
Wonderful. I look forward to reading your report.
Permission to speak freely, sir?
Granted. But already? What, was the transporter not to your liking?
No, sir. Not a complaint. I'm just curious.
A good trait for a Starfleet officer to have. Go ahead.
The grapevine has it that you specifically requested me for this assignment.
Oh, really? Seems the grapevine's in need of a little trimming.
Did I hear wrong, sir?
I didn't say that, Ensign.
I just wasn't expecting my first assignment out of the Academy to be on a deep space station. Though I'm glad to be here, sir, I expected more of a grunt job my first time out.
There are plenty of grunt jobs on a space station, Ensign.
Oh.
As it is, though, our former ops officer recently transferred aboard my fleet flagship, the USS Aurora, and you seemed qualified for the job.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. It's an honor.
Let's see if you still think so after an Orion captain has been yelling at you for a half an hour because he had to wait in line for a parking orbit.
I'm fresh out of the Academy, Admiral. I'm used to being yelled at. One more question, sir?
Sure. We're on a roll. Go ahead.
Is that an actual honest-to-God baseball on your desk?
Well, Ensign Goldman, that's not just any baseball. It's a World Series ball. Have a seat, and I'll tell you a story. You've been listening to Star Trek Eras, Episode 1, The Big Bang, starring, in order of appearance, Ken Halloran as Major Jacob Goldman and Ensign Eli Goldman, Doug Zeitlin as Lieutenant Commander Eugene Westlake, Jerry Halloran as Dr. Max Rembrandt, Tony Hopeful as Lieutenant Mary Fitzgerald, Jim Caswell as Avery, Greg Cheatham as Commander Cal Isaacs, Matt Halloran as Captain Patrick Michael Connerly and Lieutenant Jack Scard, Rick Steele as Lieutenant Commander Jahos Timonier, Andy Fox as Commander Frank White, Emmy Hopeful as Commander Jared Tobin, and Joan Halloran as Lieutenant Junior Grade Violetta Knorr. This presentation also featured Oscar Hopeful as Captain Matthew Crichton, Jonathan Michaels as Lieutenant Chang Lau, Steve Kane as the Warbird Commander, and Graham E. Hopeful as the Ops Officer. Eras is a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, with Star Trek being the property of Paramount Studios, copyright 2006. The Big Bang was written by Jim Caswell and Doug Zeitlin, edited by Ken Halloran, mixed by Jim Caswell and Matt Halloran, and recorded at Masterson House Studios in Clare, Illinois. Music was composed and produced by Matt Halloran.
This has been a TWRPS online presentation.